Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast, creating pathways, connecting people to Christ, to others, to purpose. Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast. It is December, and we are in studio with Deli and Jeremy. Good to have you, fellas.
Good to be here, guys.
Yeah, last week I was a solo act in here.
One and only.
Yeah,
I feel
in
like
one
I've
way
been,
or another.
On sabbatical for me. It's glad to be back in the ring.
Yeah, so good to be back. We just finished up a great month discussing worship. We had guests with us. That was awesome. Nice to be back in here. What we're looking at this week, we're looking at the corporate discipline, right? The corporate discipline of guidance. So if you're just tuning in or recently joining us, we're in the book Celebration of Discipline. And what we've thought it should be called is Celebration of Discipleship, right? Because that's really the things we're doing. And it's 12 different things with three categories: inward disciplines, outward disciplines, and corporate disciplines. So we started, I guess it would be February of this year, right? We started with meditation, prayer.
44 episodes ago.
Wow. Spoken by the uploader of episodes. Yeah, so meditation, prayer, fasting, study. Meditation, prayer, fasting, study, the inward disciplines. Simplicity, solitude, submission, and service. Clearly powerful because they all start with the same letter. Outward disciplines. And then these corporate disciplines. Confession and worship and now guidance. And then next month we'll wrap it up with celebration. So leaning in to guidance, we had a few comments here before we turn the mics on. Why is this hard of all the things, right? And we joke, I think you recall, we talked about fasting. We're like, we hope we can get one episode out of this, right? Ended up having a full month and great conversation. But there's something about guidance that we all kind of met here today, and we were like, okay, let's see how this rolls out. Right? What do you think that is? Let's just even hit that, the elephant in the room.
I think it's probably, in me, it's because experience has shown me that nobody's as invested in the decision that I need to make than I am. Yeah. Nobody's more invested into the decision than me. So when I go to someone for guidance,
they don't even get the whole concept of what you're saying.
They haven't done nearly the heavy lifting that I've done to even be able to formulate the question that I'm asking them. So there's just this underlying foundational thing that happens.
Okay, so you think there's a disconnect between the work that you've done in finding an answer for your life.
Right.
And when you go to someone else, the work that they've done, and you're basing that on they haven't done the work around your question.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would tie into that in, I think, part of it, because I've been also listening to a book called Misreading Scripture Through the Eyes of an Individualist.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I was thinking of. Yeah, which is the second part of the one, Misreading
the
Scripture.
Mindset.
Yeah, through the Western eyes, right? And so reading them, Misreading Scripture Through an Individualist, and that's where you think about, like, yeah. I've been doing the business with my individual life and how, you know, you're not really looking through the same lens that I am, and how that's for us living in America and in the Western world. Like, that's all of our pre-connotations, all of our filter that we're looking through everything is through this individualist rather than this, I will say, Terre Haute.
Wisdom of the community.
Yeah, or Christ way, rather than me looking through the eyes of what's the best for Christ way, or what's the best for Terre Haute as a people group, you know, or as a community. And that's where, again, it's difficult because that's not the way we live, right?
Right.
I go home, and, you know, and I'm at my house and I'm doing stuff by my own self. My parents, they're their own individual group. Even though they're a part of my family, I don't see them as a unit, you know, as my family unit.
Yeah.
So again, that's what was kind of talking about in that other book of Misreading Scripture. Like, they're talking like your children and your children's spouse and, you know, and your brother and sister and, you know, thinking about Joseph and the Technicolor coat, like, they're a family unit, you know, like, they're moving around as a family unit. So I was just thinking about that in relevance to this guidance, because you sometimes you're just like, I'm trusting in myself and in myself alone, not in my family or not in this community that I have.
Yeah. Well, and I've been accused of overthinking the room more than once in my life and not necessarily pull the trigger as fast as I should on things. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's also, I think, that I have done a lot of prayer and thought through situations, and the hour-long conversation somebody might be willing to have with me, I haven't even had a chance in that hour to touch on all of the different things that I've thought through and prayed about, much less the time I've spent in it. So I think the other thing would be that we're not in community enough that when something comes up, that it's quickly, that I would quickly ask for guidance.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to do my individual thing and think through it and try to come up with what I think is the best decision. And I might do that for a long period of time.
And maybe if I get stuck,
then I'll go talk to God.
Then I'll go talk to someone.
Yeah. Rather than, hey, this is going on in my life. And because you're in community, you don't even, it's not like I have to go make an effort because we're in community together and I'm going to have opportunities that are readily available.
Yeah.
And now we're having to seek out each other to be able to do that.
We've maybe done, so the question arises, step one, you know, and then step two is, we take it to ourselves and we think about it. And maybe step three is we pray and fast about it, you know. And then step four is, you know, maybe reading into it or something. And then step five is, okay, I still haven't. Okay, now I'm going to bring somebody into it.
Now
rather than step one, I have this question. Step two, I'm going to take it to somebody and we're going to walk through this process together. Mm-hmm. And we're going to pray and fast together. And we're going to seek the scriptures. You know, that's different.
And some of that probably is the way our society is geared. If we... One, the people that are I'm near to in a daily situation may not be people whose guidance I would
want
or value. And the people that whose guidance
Everyone
I would want.
Everyone is quietly smiling.
Yeah. The people that I would want, I'm disconnected from, and it will take effort. Well, what happens between the time I need guidance or this the idea comes in my head and my opportunity you know, to be able to
sit down with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where if you're in a culture where, hey, I work with my dad and my son is right there and the whole family business
and
culture
before it ever
all
became
right
a problem, it was a conversation.
Right. Yeah.
So you're walking with somebody through this deal before it became an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before it even was a question.
Mm-hmm. I was getting guidance before I knew to ask the question.
Or, hey, I'm thinking about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the infancy of some of these issues and problems, mm-hmm. when you're close to people, they can be walking with you in that space, right? They can be mm-hmm. doing that thing. I'm thinking of, in therapy, I'm going to say, I don't know if it'd be appropriate to call it trendy, because I don't think it's just trendy, but the practice of what's called client-centered therapy, where the tagline is client knows best. Client knows better how to treat themselves than you do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's probably some truth in that. Mm-hmm. To your point, Jeremy, they may know their experience better. You'd think that for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
The miles and the hours and all the work that you've been, when you're thinking and toiling and wrestling and all that stuff and you bring somebody else in, you got to catch them up. And a lot of times, if you've had a clinician and you have to change clinicians, the bummer is...
they got to be called back up.
Yeah, and I got to bring these, you know, the whole story again, right? Which can be traumatic and all that.
And
that's
on the playbook.
Yeah. So I do get the idea that I know my story best. Now, the Bible would say that our heart is deceitful, right?
Yeah, so, that's what I was thinking.
There's all these... that's what makes this stuff hard, right?
Yeah.
So I may know my story best, but I've often argued in that context... If I knew best how to fix myself,
I'd be fixed.
I would have fixed myself.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So and I'm sure that can be argued, but just if you can let that just sit for a minute and stand and realize that, you know, I think two givens that I've just anchored in for years, we've all got our junk and we've all got our blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just an absolute for the next person I shake hands with and whoever else. And we've all got our junk. We've all got our blind spots. And recognition of that, that I need someone to help me with my blind spots, mm-hmm. right? And someone to come alongside and maybe the perspectives. And I guess, is the difficulty that all of that is on the table at once?
I would say so.
That I've wrestled with it and probably know more about it than you do, and I never feel even capable of giving you all the details, mm-hmm. Even if you had the time mm-hmm. or the care.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
And then I need you because mm-hmm. I can't see everything in myself. And if I could fix myself, I would have.
Yep.
Yep.
Right.
And in there as well as is, well, I've done that before and I've been hurt by it. Or I trusted someone, or, you know, and they've used it in a negative way, which is what Foster talks about. There's those extremes as well, you know, of like, okay, well, maybe somebody has stepped in and used it in a not so great way. And so that trust issue, yeah. you know, that also is in there as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Or this thing is this huge thing that I'm bringing to you for guidance, and you don't act like it's a big deal. And I've made it in myself this huge deal, mm-hmm. and yeah. you don't think it's a big deal? Well, now I feel deflated because, you know. So I think all those for the individual guidance, mm-hmm. but so we've talked about the things that we need help with because they've been maybe a failure point, but also there's we don't have that failure, but we're still trying to make the best decisions in practical and spiritual. You know, we have not had failure to need help with a blind spot, maybe, but
yeah.
we still want to make a good decision mm-hmm. and be courageous. And there's just so much. And this chapter was,
yeah,
it was so much from the personal decisions to spouses and business and to corporate decisions of church
yeah.
leadership and
ministry
being choices, called to ministry yeah. and I was just
so we often say that I say this isn't a book report
right
not, this isn't a podcast on the book and but this one feels like we're the book is really like guiding and challenging and
oh yeah
we're like and you said there's a ton highlighted and
oh yeah
and
yeah
the tensions of different things that just interestingly enough caused us more angst of like, well, I don't, what are they saying there? Like, what does that mean? Or, mm-hmm. right? Those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Whereas if it came to prayer or any of the other disciplines, meditation mm-hmm. or these, and we may not even practice them very much.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the first things I underlined, maybe it's the second or third thing I underlined, but he said this about, and I even read this out loud to Jamie. I said, having once understood the radical implications of being a people under the direct administration of the Holy Spirit. Okay, great. I want to be guided by the Holy Spirit. I want
direct,
to be in
it. Yeah.
I want to be in that community. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. I want that. One of the most destructive things we can do is say, this sounds wonderful. Beginning tomorrow, I'll live that way. Mm-hmm. Such zealotry only succeeds in making life miserable for ourselves and everyone around us. So even the, like, and that I have recognized. It's like I have this spiritual desire to live this scriptural principle.
Yeah.
And I'm going to push my community to also have that desire. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in battle with my own mm-hmm. my own community.
Well, didn't it say you if you're going to try to live that new thing tomorrow yourself, what's the tension in that? I mean, you see it and you're like, I'd like to live this way. Is he saying that we can't, it's not a turnkey deal?
He's definitely saying it's not
yeah,
a turnkey
deal. Yeah, he's saying like, let's actually take some time in a modest way,
yeah.
you know, to actually do practical steps in this.
Most of us need to begin with more modest steps.
What do you think practical steps are when we're asking the Holy Spirit to lead yeah. us? Right? Mm. I mean, when we're asking, we're essentially admitting that we are looking to the supernatural for direction.
Mm. Right.
So what would be those practical steps? Because I just have to...
Go ahead. I had a friend that he talked about when he first became probably serious about his faith. He started trying to listen to the Spirit. And one of the things that the Spirit said to him was, pick up trash when you see it. Mm-hmm. And he said that act of obedience of hey, that's laying there and I can walk by it or I can drive by it or I can stop and pick it up. And that had changed his, it just kind of changed who he was as he made a priority to listen to the Spirit in mm-hmm. those in what might even seem insignificant ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that trust, that honest evaluation of, do I listen to the Spirit ever? Do I listen to the Spirit sometimes? Do I always listen to the Spirit, or is it not even on my radar? And I think there's so many places where we really can start listening to the Spirit. And if you're not doing it in the little things,
yeah.
then you're probably not going to be prepared to do it in the sell your home and all your possessions and give them to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
So giving yourself a little bit of a ramp up, right? Not just, I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit and tomorrow we're going to Bangladesh.
Yeah, well, and we see the same thing. I mean, the same thing is true in, I'm going to run a marathon. Well, when was the last time you walked around the block? You know, if you're starting from, you got to know, you got to be honest with yourself. That seems to be always the key for guidance in my life is, first, if I'm not honest with myself, it doesn't matter who I take what, because I'm not being honest with myself. I'm not honestly looking at my own, the situation, and then any guidance I receive from the Holy Spirit or otherwise is based in a lie. And so it always comes down to, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with myself. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to choose to align myself with you, and you are what is true.
Mm-hmm. There's a passage that I just looked up in James chapter 1. So I, as often as I've quoted this, I don't know that I saw it flow together the way I'm going to say right now.
Mm-hmm.
So James opens it up, right? He's the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, and it opens up to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, mm-hmm. right? The diaspora of all these Jews everywhere, all over the place, right? And then he says, consider it pure joy. The version I memorized as a kid was, count it all joy mm-hmm. when you fall into divers temptations, right? Knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. This says, you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Yeah.
Let patience have her perfect work, mm-hmm. so you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, right? Mature and complete, not lacking anything, is what the NIV would say. Now, I have quoted that, yay, a million times. Needed it, quoted it, shared it, preached it. That's verse 4. Verse 5, following verse 4, that's the part that I don't know if I put together. If any of you lacks wisdom, now just think of that. The flow from, let patience be developed in your life, and wisdom. Mm-hmm. The connection between patience and wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously,
liberally,
doesn't hold back, right? And it will be given to you. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously and upbraideth not, right? Yeah, doesn't hold back, right? Now, here's the deal. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt. The one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, and such person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. This is a verse, a directive from James, kicking it off, right? The mm-hmm. beginning of the book, the pastoral epistle from Jerusalem. And he's saying, if you need wisdom, here's the formula.
Yeah.
Ask and you'll get God, it. He'll give it, but you can't doubt in the moment. So really, we're seeking God, or seeking guidance from God. He's like, but don't doubt. Isn't that right on the mark?
Mm-hmm.
It's so on the mark that we pray and we ask people, you know, and if it's Sunday at Christway, you know, we're going up to the folks around the room praying with us, and we're like, you know, the whole deal. And then we've asked. And then in the moment on like Tuesday or Thursday afternoon or whatever, we doubt. And he says, The one that doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Don't expect to receive anything. That person is double-minded and unstable. But led up to it, I don't think it's two different things. Let's talk about patience for a couple verses. Now let's talk about wisdom for a couple verses. Mm-hmm. But the unifying mm-hmm. of patience and wisdom to wait, but ask and expect. Mm-hmm. And wait and ask and expect.
Yeah.
All of that together.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot to digest. He could have ended his... His epistle
the whole thing, right?
Yeah, six verses, yeah. Right? I got six verses for you guys.
Really?
Work on your dissertation.
Oh, James is so dense, just dense, right? And I think that's wonderful. So, putting it to practice in my own life, I've done it. I try to do it. I ask God mm-hmm. for direction. And what's interesting is I heard someone the other day, they had a situation, life circumstance, and they said, you know, and I told my wife, I've been praying about that a lot. So, and he went on to, finish the sentence, you know? And when he said that, I'm like, so interesting. Because I don't honestly think that I would say, I've been praying about that a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't pray in lists. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he did either. I don't know how I prayed. But, you know, this like, here are the things I need to pray about today.
I don't either.
I don't do that so much. And when I hear people say, I've been praying about that, It always catches me weird. Mm. Not that they're weird. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel weird because mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't think I'm not sure what I could tell you I've been praying mm-hmm. about.
Yeah. Right?
But I do think there's this constant listening, constant awareness, God awareness, self-awareness, mm-hmm. where I'm just listening. And then, but I will say, Lord, I need your help here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I only ask like once. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's the way to go. I'm just saying that I think it is instructed in my life by this. I'm going to ask you, and then the work is, will I believe you in the moment? And so I have had experiences, even recently, where I ask God for, I'm going to need direction here. Preemptive, before I get there. Like, I know this is going to be a deal. I'm going to need your mm-hmm. direction. And when I'm in there, I just listen. And I'm not going to speak until I get something. But whatever comes to me, that's what I'm trusting. Mm-hmm. Now, does that feel a little reckless? That's right. Yeah. A little dangerous?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even my disagree with where he is on the on coming from. I think we probably live in a culture
I have several points of disagreement.
I think I think that's
full disclosure.
True. But growing up in a church culture where it's like, well, I feel like we should do this. I'll take that to the pastor, and then he'll take it to the board, and then we'll talk about it for three meetings and then have a vote on it. And at some point it feels like you prayed about it, you've been prompted.
And then you took over.
And then you either have courage to obey or sometimes it's like, I'm going to go to you for courage, or am I going to you so that I don't have to do this thing the Lord is calling me to do?
That's the dicey piece in that, right?
Yeah. Right.
That what I should just interject here, no condemnation in all of this, right? No condemnation. This is us figuring
doing business with it.
Well, he starts off, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's backwards.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's this backwards presentation of, I'm going to ask you, you're going to tell me, but it doesn't say you're going to tell me in the moment right then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It actually implies that in the moment when it's happening, don't doubt.
Yeah. Persevere in that.
Yeah. And if I do doubt, then I'm completely unstable, just tossed like the wave. I'm not the wind, I'm the wave. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the wind tosses me, which could easily be typical of circumstances or what. Mm-hmm. I'm all over the place, right? I'm not a thermostat. I'm not trying to be cheesy here, but I'm not a thermostat. Mm-hmm. I'm a thermometer. And whatever the outside is, I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm up and down, I'm all over the place, rather than like setting a course. Now, the course doesn't have to be, I know what the answer is. Mm-hmm. The course might be, I know who the answer is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look to the Lord, and I'm going to ask, and you're going to give it to me. And it's also, I think this is powerful to consider, not just what, but when. I may be in a situation and I'm ready to give an answer and it's not the right time. Mm. Timing is very important. in guidance.
You may be in a situation and you need an answer and it's not the right time for you to hear it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it just hasn't sometimes, come. You know, guidance goes both ways, right? So sometimes it's.
You know, I think of the Old Testament, this single phrase, which can just screw around with you for hours and hours. The cup of the Amorites was not yet full. Right? The Lord is going to bring something down, but he's like, not quite yet.
Yeah.
Isn't that an incredible phrase? The cup of the Amorites is not yet full.
And it wasn't positive. It was
getting
worse.
It was wrath.
Yeah, he was pouring out something.
Not quite yet. But you know what that shows? I know what's going on.
Right.
I know it's not okay. I'm consciously, if I can say God is, you know, whatever I know about God, God is consciously allowing that to continue. Mm-hmm. Not quite yet. Mm-hmm. So that could fill us with, awesome, when I'm getting my head bashed in, you know about it, and it makes me feel good. I'm so glad you know. Mm-hmm. Or flip side, like what in the world is going on here, right? Where are you when you know what's going on and you're not interacting with us? Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right? The tensions of those things. So this idea of patience and then asking for God's wisdom. Yeah.
And doing that corporately. Mm-hmm. As
a corporate, yeah. You know, which to Deli's point, is this isn't one of the individual disciplines.
Yeah.
It's a corporate discipline.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the difficulty. There was something I was just reading about, you know, like this enthusiasm, this almost, again, our heart's deceitful. So sometimes this false enthusiasm is what Foster even says, is how sometimes we feel this prompting on this issue of something, and with that immediate reaction of like, okay, like let's go on this because I feel like this is immediate. I know what's going on and I'm going to jump into this. And sometimes that is true in being obedient, but then also that's not true, as in sometimes we're deceiving ourselves in this moment of going in this decision when we're not being patient with wisdom and patient and persevering through it. I know that I think there's I just was thinking about that, how, because I've totally been that, where I'm like, I've read something and I'm like,
I have to do this right now.
Like, I need to jump on this. Oh. And I'd say that because I've come to both of you in an instance where I'm like, I have money. Okay, like, I need to get rid of this money because I feel like it says right here that, you know, rich man cannot go into heaven. And also, let's see, these people died when they didn't give you something, you know? Like, so I don't want to die. And
never comes in church after you.
Yeah. And so, like,
that's a preacher joke right there.
So, like, okay, is this enthusiasm for what I just read and discerning what that means and seeking and praying what that means, praying about it and questioning it and searching it, and how is this aligning to God's will? Like, all of that, you know, like, is right there. And again, that's why we say we open this can of worms.
Yeah.
Because it's all on the table.
Well, a moment ago, you were, I mean, the listener clearly wouldn't be able to know this, but your hands are back and forth. You're just like, throwing, like you're juggling. No balls, you're juggling. Mm-hmm. Your hands are like, whoa, just this and that, and this and that. Mm-hmm. Totally what it is.
Yeah.
How about, close out this episode, how about praying that space, praying over that space for us?
Yeah. Don't be tossed.
yeah, right.
Yeah. Father, we come to you right now with the questions, with the tensions that is your being led by your Spirit. God, for every person that is listening that is wanting to step into being Spirit-led, to being led by your will and your guidance, I pray that they are able to have people in their lives, Lord, to step out and have someone to walk and journey with them, to ask those questions, to fast, to pray, to trust those who, God, we just need in our lives, to help us discern things, to discern our heart from your will, from our knowledge and our brain and our own earthly wisdom from your heavenly wisdom. Help us to wrestle with that, to do business with it, to not just push it over to the side, but actually have a conversation. That's why we're here talking about this, walking together And I pray for every person that hears this, that they can also do that, because we all do not know everything. We need a body of believers that are equipped in every aspect to help us and to guide us and to be one spirit, one body, one mind, all of those things. So we give it all to you. Lord, we need your wisdom, we need your patience, we need your perseverance to lock our eyes and fix our eyes on you, fix our eyes on the hope that you have, so that we do not get tossed about by the waves, that we don't get tossed about by earthly wisdom, by worldly wisdom, or deceived by lies or things that are spoken to us. So help us to tune in to your voice. Lord, thank you for all of it. Thank you for this conversation. In your name, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So we hope that you can tune in next week as we continue this conversation about guidance and direction. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll look forward to being with you next week. Take care.